There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
And give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that puts the bass into the acid. And joining me, as always, is the lovely, the chemically sound Lee.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I do a light acid wash on my face because that helps with zits, but I don't really put my whole face in acid. But no, I am chemically sound. I mean, I have my pills here. We're doing this Saturday morning, so I have my morning medications that are all lined up here to take. So I will be very chemically sound in about 20 minutes. That'll be good.
Wait, no, she's I'm literally good. Taking them as we record. That's interesting.
I will be literally taking as we record. Yep. Well, I've got my tea beside me. What else am I supposed to do? But no, I'm good. I keep wondering how we're going to introduce Ric Flair at Dragon Con.
I think
there should be a lot of sparkles. A lot of sparkles and a lot of bleach blonde hair. I somehow seen that.
I don't know how. I know that they mentioned his announcement in the context of Thursday night wrestling not being ever being the same. Is he actually going to wrestle? Do we know?
I don't know.
I mean, because he. I mean, no offense to the dude, but he is old. I mean, I'm afraid
he's
for
not
his
old. He's
I'd be afraid
old-ish.
For his life. Look, he was old when I was watching him back in, you know, 1980s, 1990s.
Well, John, just because you got old doesn't mean he did, because you know what? It's my
He is the nature boy.
He is the nature boy, and it's also my understanding that, you know, he has some kind of science devices that keep him young and looking the exact same.
I claim fake science.
Well, you know what? I don't claim fake science, but you know who can put an end to this?
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat? No, wait, somebody else.
No, I think it's somebody else, because Ricky the Dragon Steamboat knows to which side his bread is buttered. I think it would be our guest, Steven, the Dr. Steven. He is really a doctor, guys. PhD, who is the science director at Track. Hi, guy.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, well,
you're welcome.
You
that was about as ham-fisted as we could introduce you, but I got there somehow.
Yeah. Speaking of other topics.
So is there a way to keep yourself looking like you did in the 80s? Not that some of the 80s stuff, I don't want to keep us looking.
No, I assume you just put on loud prints and head warmers. Things like that. Made everything in neon.
I do want to point something out. Ric Flair is 68 years old as of right now. So,
wow.
Yeah, so I'm hoping he's not wrestling. Anyway, otherwise, is
Maybe
there some...
Maybe he's just introducing it. Maybe he's introducing it and just being there.
Yeah. Anyway. So, Dr. Steven, is that what we're going to call you now? Okay, we'll just call you Doctor.
I think Steven will work just fine.
I always like to remind people, though, that he is a doctor. He's got like a real degree in everything.
And I've had it for a while, but I still it's like Dr. Grenade. Oh, that's my dad. That's who that is.
That's me.
If I may ask, what is your actual doctory thing in?
It is in physics.
Oh, wow.
So it's not the kind of doctor that like actually does anybody any good.
Well,
but I can do math.
What's interesting is that my daughter is considering pursuing physics.
She's, oh, cool.
So, yeah.
Really?
And art. So.
And art.
Yeah, I know.
They go together.
Whatever.
Well, I mean, my undergraduate degree is in physics and theater, so.
There you go. Oh, I gotta let her know.
You can combine stuff. That's allowed.
That's allowed. Fine.
All right. So, cool. So, you are obviously the as we're talking to you, the director of Science Track at at Dragon Con. By the way, does that ever get old? The whole science thing. Anybody? Nobody.
Steven, are you on mute? Did you accidentally hit mute? Did we lose you?
Can you hear me?
Now we can hear you.
You switched over a little bit. Your audio is a little weird now.
Is it? Can you hear me?
It's getting better. You're just like faint.
Weird. I have a little box here that controls my volume. Can you still hear me?
Yes. Yes. It's getting better. I don't know if you can turn it up a little more.
Yes. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
Okay.
This is why you're a physicist, not an engineer.
Well, you know, I used to volunteer for Tech Ops, which in theory does sound and lights. So
yes, that's true.
This is probably why I had to leave to go to do the science stuff. They're like, don't do the sound anymore. Don't touch.
We like your butt. Yeah.
Wait, did you say they liked my butt?
That's what I heard too. She knows. She knows people. Well, so since we're on that topic, vaguely on that topic, we had some controversy the other day during our game when we were listing off science, different types of science. Mm-hmm. And Lee started to list off mechanical engineering. Mm-hmm. Engineering is not a science, correct?
Engineering is sort of applied science, and the sort of the boundary between what is science and what is engineering can get a little blurry, because there is the science of like statics and moving objects and all of the things that go into mechanical engineering. But mechanical engineering really is more focused on how do I make a thing.
And she might have been a little. It might have actually not have been mechanical engineering. Might have been some other engineering discipline that she was talking about, but. Okay, so we have, I think the score is now 1-1 at this point on who believes it was science versus engineering. Okay, versus not science, rather.
I still win.
So we're tied. That's what it goes. Well, I mean, I actually had no dog in the fight. I stayed out of it, but then we've had people write in complaining that engineering is not science. But anyway, moving on to your track.
Yeah, what does the science track do?
We cover really the boundary of science fiction and science fact. There are I sort of am the catch-all science factual track for anything that doesn't fall in some of the other what we tend to call the reality tracks. Like there's a space track, there is a robotics makers track, there is the EFF track that does computer science and the sort of boundary between that and law. So I'm sort of all the stuff that isn't them. So we do some stuff that is very science focused. So for example, I've got a pathologist coming to talk about ancient bacteria and viruses in the permafrost, since as the permafrost retreats, we may be seeing some new and exciting diseases return.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goody.
Yeah. And we'll talk about, you know, personal genetic testing. So really focused on the science thing. Then we look at some stuff that is the science and science fiction. I've got two biologists, one who loves Star Wars and one who loves Star Trek, and they're going to argue for the superiority of the biology in Star Wars versus Star Trek. So it's a scientist on scientist argument about it.
Okay, wait. I get the biology. What the heck are they going to argue? I mean, the ridges on the Klingon skull. Why? I mean, or versus that Star Trek people would be green. I mean, what?
This is going on 7 p.m. on Sunday. You can come and find out what they're going to argue.
Okay. I'm going to have to send somebody as a proxy. I mean, I know I already have something in them, but yes, this is woo.
Yeah, well, they proposed it. That sounds really, really fascinating. And the thing that I really love is they're both they're biologists at Duke. They're colleagues, they're friends, and they're going to argue. And I think this is going to be pretty great.
More fun, yeah. No, I think this is really interesting. I mean, I really hope somebody tapes this and puts it up on YouTube or somehow, because I do actually want to see this. I would like to hear what they're going to say. That's kind of cool. I love that. No, that's awesome. Okay, sorry.
You know, we've got another biologist who's going to be talking about Pokemon and biology. which I think is going to be really interesting. And
wait,
then we
Pokemon?
Just, Pokemon and biology. Yeah. So
I know you can evolve them. They're constantly evolving.
Right. So I guess come and catch them all.
Yes.
We're going to do, I have a sort of back-to-back set of panels that's going to be talking about the history of science. The first being exciting medical practices in history. Looking back at how we used to do medicine and things that we used to think were real, like phrenology. And then scientific slap fights, where we look at, because science is done by humans and humans are not always the nicest or are people or get along well. So there have been some really exciting examples of scientists quarreling in history. My favorite probably being the Bone Wars, where two paleontologists were warring over who could find the most fossils in the U.S. to the point of paying people to sabotage and blow up some of the fossil sites. Yeah, like destroying science in their race to be on top.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, we can just, you know, I'm sorry, because I am assuming this is two dudes. Am I correct?
It is, in fact, two dudes.
Okay, so, you know what? Just measure it, guys. Really.
By the way, as he said, they were called the Bone Wars. And the adult version has the tagline, blowing things up on the race to the being on top.
Right.
So, you know, there you go.
Oh,
we're terrible people early in the morning when we've just had our caffeine. So there we go.
Oh, I'm just finishing my first set of my caffeine. Anyway, so what other exciting panel? By the way, all these are very interesting. And
thank you. I'm very excited about them, and I've been trying to figure out, because I'm also since I sort of split my time between being a director and being a guest/pro, I do panels on other tracks, which is great. I love to do that, but it means I miss some of the really cool stuff that I want to see.
Yeah.
But every night at 10, we do just for fun, pure entertainment thing. So Friday night, we're doing the Science Team Up Quiz Show, where I'm pairing scientists with a member of the audience and putting them into teams. And then they have to answer science questions. But the trick is, the science questions do not have anything to do with the scientist discipline.
Yes.
You know, it's like asking me biology questions. I'm like, all right. Saturday night, we're doing Science versus TV, where we're going to show examples of science in TV clips, and our scientists have to explain why it is 100% correct.
Yeah, you've done this before. Like, I know you showed a clip from like 2012.
Oh, yeah. I've done this with movies before. And it's watching the scientists squirm and try to come up with explanations is always a fine time.
Okay, so I really need you to do a couple for me. Please.
Oh, okay.
So the TV show Grimm, mm-hmm. how people can become their Vesson, they become, you know, basically animal or something like that. So how they become a Vesson, and we only see it sometimes, we who are not Vesson. I want to know that one. I want a biologist to explain that to me.
Okay.
I want a biologist to explain how the LSD made John Noble's character so brilliant in Fringe, that LSD actually did help him, because that's kind of the basis of the show. It made him a little crazy, but it also really made him really smart.
Right.
Along with Leonard Nimoy, because Leonard Nimoy's character also did a lot of the LSD and
Right.
Okay. So those are two. John, I'm trying to think of what else.
Well, I was about ready to say,
nothing you can explain from X-Files. Just give it up.
Well, that would be the fun part.
Right.
Well, yeah. Okay. So any of the X-Files stuff would be fine.
We could go all the way back. You're talking about the stuff on Grimm. We could go all the way back to the 80s, since we were talking 80s earlier, and bring out Manimal, the most
amazing show
I ever saw as a kid.
You
never saw it?
No, I'm saying it was the most amazing show I saw as a kid. I was like, this is amazing.
So you and Joe just hang out together then.
Right. Exactly.
God help us.
You are the two fan club, the two man fan club of that show.
Yeah, so anyone who has not seen Manimal, it's on YouTube. Go and watch just a couple of minutes and be amazed at what entertained us in the 80s.
Yeah, and how fast Wonder Woman spun in the 70s show showed her, you know, how, where her clothes went and how it transformed.
Well, to that point, how it is that the jet's invisible, yet she's not.
There you go.
Everything else in the jet is not visible except for her flying through the air.
Right.
Yeah.
That one.
Well, because actually, the funny part about that is that we now, and I don't know if it's really funny or humorous, but it's interesting, I guess, maybe, is that we do have the technology now for that kind of thing to go on, where, you know, it reads the other side of what the plane, in this case, the plane looks like, and then projects it onto the side that you see.
Right.
And, you know, we're just that far away from having a flying jet. But again, all the contents inside would still be invisible. You wouldn't be able to see what's inside.
Right.
Yeah. So there you go. We got that. That would help us, please. Thank you. It would answer our questions in life. Thank you.
We'll sit here and wait for your answer.
I really wanted to get that in because these are the questions that keep me up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right. I figure we could just show a whole episode of Fringe and have people comment on it. And that would be sufficient.
You could. There's some really, especially the one where the last episode where he's no longer there, but he is there and he's changed time, but he hasn't changed time, but he can still send the picture of the white tulip, which doesn't make any sense to Peter, but he thinks his father. Yeah. All of that one. The whole damn last episode I would like explained.
You and me both.
I mean, I liked it as an episode. It's a beautifully done episode, but.
Oh, I love Fringe overall, but yeah, lots of it are kind of bonkers science.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, it wasn't real?
Right. Yeah.
And if you can do the, I'm going to go through some other fandoms. Stargate. Mm-hmm. If you can do that Stargate thing, the whole, like, you can go through all these different wormholes and end up on a different planet that looks just like Vancouver.
Right.
That would be great. So you've got both the time travel or faster than speed of light travel. That's not time travel. More faster than speed of light travel. And you've got the biology of ecospheres and stuff like that. Along with, of course, when the hell am I getting transporters? I am sick and damn tired of driving places.
Right.
I am sick of it taking me 3 hours to get home to my hometown. No, I'm done.
Just Lee rants on things right now.
Right.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you don't want to invite me to that panel. I could moderate it because I could do my little rant and then they could explain. But
I don't know that your rant will ever end, to be honest with you at this point.
I'm going to stop. I'm stopping now. I just all of a sudden thought of Stargate, and that one doesn't make any damn sense either. I mean, there are a whole lot that don't make sense, but I'll stop here.
You need to just stop thinking about fandom in general. There's a lot of stuff that don't make sense.
And then next year, Steven, my suggestion, comic books.
Good call.
There you go.
So we have Science vs. TV. That's Saturday night. Is that what that is?
That is Saturday night.
Is that where we started this conversation?
That is where, yes. So you can see this. There's a reason that this is a very popular thing that we do. I really enjoy doing it.
I have popular ideas.
You do have popular ideas. And then Sunday night, one of our guests, Rachel Pendergrass, curates and hosts a variety show, Solve for X, that has storytelling, and we've had puppets before. We've done skits. There's PowerPoint karaoke where people have to give talks to slides they've never seen before. It's pretty great.
If you want some slides on some science, we need to talk offline.
Okay.
Because you do know that I work with people that are scientists.
I do.
And we could chat on some of those, because some of those are actually now public, and they're hysterical. So yeah, we'll do it at the next director's meeting. So but that would be, I think that's hysterical. My understanding about that one on Sunday night is not only SRO, there are people hoping somebody has to go to a bathroom break so they can come in and watch it. One goes on more than just an hour.
Yeah. We go a while, not forever long, because it's Sunday night and people get tired, but we do go for a while.
Yeah. So, and you're in, okay, now, as we're talking about all of this, where is your track room and where will any of these special events, if they're not in your track room, be?
Oh, that's a really good question. So most of my events happen in my track room, which is Hilton 210 to 11. If you're coming across the Sky Bridge from the Marriott to the Hilton, it's in the hallway that's on the left. So you could sort of come out of the Sky Bridge and turn left, or go, depending on traffic, all the way around the circle to be able to go left. The special events are mostly happening in the Crystal Ballroom.
Okay.
So yep. The Hilton. So like the Science Team Up quiz show is in Crystal. I believe, oh no, Science versus TV is in Grand West this year. We've been upgraded.
Oh, that's going to be good. Very cool. That's an awesome one. But all of your stuff is in the Hilton pretty much. You're not out of the Hilton.
Correct. We have very few things that ever go outside of the Hilton. So like the Crystal Ballroom, Grand East, that's pretty much where all of that happens.
Yeah. And so let me let you know, Grand East and West, of course, I'm not going to know which one is West and which one is East, but they are across from each other when you get on that Grand Ballroom level.
Right.
and they have really big signs above them. So just kind of look for that. Also want to let you know, the great thing about the Hilton, it's kind of the great thing about the Sheraton and great thing about the Marriott, is that they know that we, especially after 8:30, may enjoy an adult beverage, we being Dragon Con attendees. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have a couple of places you can go if you would like to maybe take something into one of those ballrooms and be able to go in and out to get that, as long as nobody's waiting to steal your seat. But, you know, if you're in bigger rooms, I think you're going to be better this year. So that'll be good.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to all of this.
That will be kind of awesome. If I can get there, my son and his girlfriend, this will be her first year at Dragon Con, and she's a bit of a science geek too. The other week I went downstairs, it was July 4th actually, and I was upstairs doing some stuff. My father-in-law, my husband, my son, and his girlfriend were downstairs, and I walked in and they were kind of arguing and reading different things off. All four of them had a computer out, either a smartphone or a computer, and they were all reading different definitions, and I'm like, what are we talking about? And they were like, quantum physics. And I went, I'm out. See ya. Going back upstairs. Bye. Right. So, yeah. So I think she's going to love your track, and I think she's going to love some of this stuff you're doing for fun. So I'm going to kind of encourage her to go to a lot of that.
Yeah.
Now, another track we talked about beforehand, on Saturday at 4 PM, you have a cosplay in science.
Cosplay in science. So, we've got a number of the people who come, who are guests and pros on the science track, also are really, really into cosplay. So we're going to be talking about fabric and, you know, the different materials that you can use, thermoplastics, glue, leatherworking, all kinds of really cool things, and sort of the science behind those. And I'm really excited to get to see that one as well.
Well, and also I want to, as you talk about cosplay too, some of the science cosplay I've loved. Have you seen that new, it's for a woman scientist that says if we treated scientists like sports heroes, and it's like this one, I can't remember her name, of course, which is the whole purpose of the damn commercial, because I just don't remember names, but I love that. But there are a lot of people that do dress up as scientists. You'll see some of them in the parade. And I do want to let people know, there are spaces, or there have been in the past, and you would need to ask the parade people. You can go on the Dragon Con official site and say, hey, who's doing the elements? But there are elements in the parade, the whole yes. scientific thing of elements. And there are some that have not been taken yet. So you might want to, if you are into science and cosplay and want to have some fun and be in the parade, and don't want to dress as Madame Curie in that really big bustle and Victorian outfit that would be, oh my God, so hot. You know, hit them up.
Cool.
Because that's science. I'm sorry. Science.
So who do you have for a guest this year? I mean, I'm looking at your guest list, and it seems very large. but some highlights.
I'm sorry. What was, John, what was that again?
I said his guests are very large.
Right.
And I need somebody to make that as a ringtone for me, please. Just yes. Please, I need John's voice saying that. Thank you.
Any highlights there? I mean, obviously, you love all your guests, but are there...
I do love all my guests. So I'm excited because we've got a wider range of disciplines this year than we've had in the past. I keep trying to sort of expand that and bring new and more people in. So this year we've got Danielle Lee. Dr. Lee is coming. She does great advocacy for science online. She is a biologist who works with small mammals. So you can come ask her about rats and things like that. And urban ecology is her specialist or her specialty. There we go. I have going through here and seeing who all. Leanne Lord is coming back. She is a stand-up comedian who co-hosts some of the Star Talk podcast work with Neil deGrasse Tyson. And she is lovely and hilarious and really, really awesome. So I'm glad that she's back. We've got, looking through here, actually I've got a couple of, I guess, small creature people, because Gwen Pearson, Dr. Pearson, who is also known online as Bug Girl or Bug Gwen, is an entomologist, and she's going to get to talk about eating bugs. So you should definitely come and hear that.
And fried crickets are good, but I heard that the cricket hot dogs mostly, they taste like hot dogs, but they have the consistency of tofu. So is she bringing any bugs to look at or anything like that?
Yes, she will be bringing some bugs for you to see. We're going to be setting that up as part of our hands-on science event that we are going to be doing at 10 a.m. on Sunday, 10 till 12:30 this year.
And I'm assuming that one's mostly for the kids. On Saturday?
Yes and no. I mean, it does tend to draw a lot of kids, I think, because it is family friendly. It's a little quieter and a little stepped down from some of the other Dragon Con activities. So that's really nice.
That's cool. That's a lot of fun too. Yeah.
Yep. We've got a couple of people who have been doing work with different films and TV on the science side. So Kevin Grazier is back.
Kevin!
Battlestar Galactica and things like that. Mika McKinnon is back, who has done Stargate and has, hopefully, she says she's got some new projects that she can be announcing her participation in.
Yay!
Hopefully the word will be out by DragonCon. So, really looking forward to that.
If you've never gone to see Kevin speak, he is a great speaker. He has a great Facebook. I kind of consider him an acquaintance. I don't think a friend. But he also, if you're there, ask him about his rats.
Oh, yes.
Because he is a big, and I don't mean rats as in like he doesn't like them. I mean rats as in he has pets and he loves them and he is amazing. He and another friend of mine are finally getting me around to going, not like doing a full body shiver when I see mice and rats. Although both of them will tell you rats are much nicer than mice. Rats usually do not bite, mice do. So found that out. Didn't know.
So there you go.
So ask him about rats. Yep. If you want to see him, whether you do it in a panel or you just see him walking around, because he wanders a lot. He loves to chat with people and wander.
So people might recognize you also from DC TV over the years. Have you guys done any new stuff for this year? Or have you been doing new stuff for this year?
Well, we did. We filmed a couple of things. I'm right now procrastinating on writing bumpers, which is I'm one of the writers for the bumpers and sort of the main person who coordinates all of that. And I don't
know. Along with your day job gets, and your family and everything else, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes, because I don't have enough to do. So yeah. I guess, in fact, after this interview, I will have to go sit down and take the pile of half-formed ideas and turn it into hopefully comedy. and Brian Richardson and I, Brian is the director of videography and one of the founders of DCTV. Just a little while ago, we filmed finally an idea he's had for a long time, which is homeopathic beer. So that's going to be fun. It's a commercial for homeopathic beer.
Ooh. Okay. All right.
We would, if you guys ever make it, those in paranormal travel track, we're more than willing to try it. Just let you know.
Yeah, brew it up. Yeah, sure.
Brew it up and tell us how it's homeopathic, and we will let you know if it works. Just letting you know that we will be your test subjects.
You put a little bit of beer in water, and dilute that another 1,000 times, and then you dilute that another couple of 1,000 times, and then you've got homeopathic beer.
That's it. Wow. That, I'm a sociology major. We've said this before, but that just sounds like water. I'm sorry. Wait, no. Sorry. Sorry. Okay. Next. Sorry.
I don't know what's next, Lee.
How do you go off from that?
Well, I'm not trying to get into skeptic track because we'll talk to Derek in a little bit. The other Derek. We have two Derek's, by the way. So I want to also ask you, so if you could, like, if you had 4 or 5 guests you could get, all right, and we're going to take Tyson off there. We're going to take, I'm saying living or dead. I mean, because we've talked about this before, but I'm going to take a lot of like the Sagan and the Tyson and Einstein off. If there were somebody you could get as a guest, just somebody you're like, wow, this would be an awesome guest for Science Track. This would be an awesome guest for Dragon Con. Do you have one or two that you think of and it's just, you just can't seem to get it worked out, but God knows these would be the most amazing people ever.
Well, I mean, if we're going to go, through history and someone I could pull, I would have. Are you familiar with Grace Hopper?
Name sounds familiar, but he might have been a villain on Dukes of Hazzard. So
the only Hopper I know is from the John Hopper who, you know, sings.
So she was in the Navy, I think retired as a Rear Admiral. She was one of the first computer scientists. She was one of the first programmers of Harvard Mark I computer and invented one of the first compilers, just did all of this amazing stuff in programming. Sadly passed away back, I think, in the early 90s. But she's someone that I'm just like, I would love to have someone like that to be able to talk about all of the work that she had done and just the history that all of the things
I love that.
It would have been wonderful.
Yeah. I would love to actually, and I know they actually did a conference recently for STEM, for women in STEM, which was some of the women from Hidden Figures. And some of them are still, many of them are actually still around. And I wasn't able to go because couldn't go. But that to me would be somebody I would love to see from a STEM perspective. I'd also, you know, the one I really want to have is for me, for you and science and everything else is like Buzz Aldrin. Because Buzz, he's an astronaut and he's a scientist and he's it. But he honestly really loves this idea that there is more life out there. And he has actually put some money in recently to try to find it. Those kind of people I love. I'd also love Seth's just, I'm going to say it wrong. The SETI guy, Seth.
Yes.
Stephen, I do see a problem with Grace Hopper, which is that EFF would try to take that guest.
I would share. That would be great. I would love to have Adam Savage back.
Oh yeah, that'd be great.
Adam Savage back. Yes,
I know he is ridiculously busy, but I love the work that he has done. I got a chance to go and hear him speak the last time he was at Dragon Con years and years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was just great. So I would love to have, and that's the kind of just cheerful love for science and engineering that I think is wonderful. So.
Yeah. And though I don't even know if he has an actual degree in science discipline or not, but he's made it accessible, which is one of those cool things, right? So he's made and shown that, you know, science doesn't have to be stuffy, especially, you know, in your field of work too, in the physics area. They've just done that whole show, the whole Mythbuster show just did a ton of good service to the world as far as making it accessible to the masses, I guess is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would love to have him back like in a heartbeat.
And Jamie too, who's a little less science and more like let's blow shit up, but
right.
I like to blow shit up too. And well, so does Adam. So
yes.
Anybody who likes to blow stuff up and then explains the science behind it, I kind of love that.
Yeah.
All right, Stephen. So this is the part of the show where we prove that Lee thinks I'm cheating.
And evil.
But what we're going to do is I'm going to give you a couple of topics, three, to choose from, randomly chosen off of a spreadsheet of topics. All right, Lee. Once we're all done with this, Lee, I will send you the spreadsheet so you can see I wasn't lying. Anyway, so, but you know, maybe it's weighted towards somebody. Anyway, so I'm going to give you three topics. We're going to go, for example, I might give you Batman villains, and you would say, Steven?
Oh, Poison Ivy.
And I'd say Lee. Lee would say what?
Penguin.
And then I go back to you, Steven, you'd say?
And now I feel bad because they've rehabilitated Poison Ivy and Catwoman.
So there we go. So we would just go back and forth until one of you either can't think of anything quickly or we get to 10 on both sides, in which case we just say, okay, this is obviously going to keep going forever, and we just stop. If you happen to be the last person standing out of the two of you, you get 2 bonus points, and then we do 3 rounds of that, and then we see who wins. So
basically, Steve, that means you get 6 bonus points during this at some point. So just letting you know now, you've already started probably 6 ahead of me.
So here is the randomly chosen... Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, it is okay. 3 topics for you to choose from, Steven. Hitting Control R now. All right, characters from Shrek, fictional languages, or Broadway musicals. See, Lee, those are all just very
general.
Yeah, but he also said he was a theater major.
Oh, wow, that's
in fact,
weird.
I'm going to go for Broadway musicals.
That's weird. I don't remember that. Okay, so.
I'm doing something on my video phone right now that you can't see, and it's not to you, Stephen. Just letting you know.
Sure.
Okay.
So Stephen, give me a Broadway musical.
Hamilton.
Lee.
Heck yeah, Cats.
Stephen. Well, okay, you already lose, Lee. Sorry, you said Cats.
I know. I said the worst ever. Right. I know. Yeah.
Oklahoma.
Where the wind comes whipping down the plain. Lee. Yep.
Phantom of the Opera, which I've never seen, thank God.
Oh, I've seen it. I've seen it twice. But anyway, Lee, Steven.
Annie Gets Your Gun.
He's naming all the things I've been... Okay, Lee.
Guys and Dolls.
Steven.
Unsinkable Molly Brown.
I've not seen that one. Lee.
Book of Mormon.
Steven.
Fun Home.
Oh, wow. Okay, Lee.
Ooh. Avenue Q.
Steven.
I'm excited about this one. Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark.
Okay, now Steven loses. All right, Lee.
Now Steven loses. Carnival.
Whoa. Okay, all right. Go ahead, Lee. I mean, Steven.
I'm next. Guys and Dolls.
All right, Lee.
I already said it.
Oh, did
my
you?
Favorite. Okay, yeah, I did. It's one of my favorites.
Oh, no. Yeah. Crap, now I'm thrown off my stride. What else? Miss Saigon.
Okay. Lee.
It's the Billy Joel one. Into the Night. Billy Joel.
Steven.
Les Mis.
Lee.
The sequel to Phantom of the Opera, whatever the hell that one was called. Oh, I can do the other one. Jesus Christ Superstar.
Okay, fine.
Let go.
Steven.
Jersey Boys.
Lee.
Oh, God, I just saw it, too. Oh, crap, what was it? It's the one. Godspell. Okay. Godspell.
All right, you got one in. Steven?
Oh, gosh, now I'm starting to scrape the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, I know.
School of Rock.
Lee?
That might be it. I cannot remember what the Phantom of the Opera sequel name is because it's really stupid. And I also can't remember the one he did on roller skates, which I want to say is Starship Express, but
got
I'm not
it.
Sure that's
you
right.
got it.
Look at that.
Did I really?
Yes.
Starship Express.
So that's 10, that's actually okay. 10 each. So we're going to stop there. We're going to stop there. The one you were looking for, Lee, was Love Never Dies.
Thank you. Cause it's a really stupid freaking title. Yeah. We also, you know what? We didn't even really get into some of the Disney ones. We could have done Beauty and the Beast.
True.
We could have done Lion King. Aladdin is now out.
Wicked.
Wicked. Oh, Into the Woods. God. How did we forget Wicked? Yeah.
Well, there
Guys and Dolls is my favorite, though. Sit Down, You're Rocking the Boat is, yeah.
Well, we didn't get to Rent. We didn't get to Music Man. Now that the pressure is off, I'm like, oh, there are other ones.
Oh, yeah, Music Man. Disney on the roof. Now that the pressure is off. Yeah, we're like, oh, we can talk about anything now. Yeah, what? Yeah.
Carousel. Okay, so...
Carousel, too. I said Carnival, but...
I know, you pulled Carnival, yeah, which was really weird because that's like a... Of the two, usually it's Carousel that gets said.
I was just pleased I remembered Fun Home because there was a while and I was listening to that.
And I don't know Fun Home. I knew all the rest of them. What is Fun Home?
It is based on Alison Bechdel's comic. She did a graphic novel about growing up. So growing up and realizing that she was queer and her dad, who was also queer and closeted, and they owned a funeral home that they called the Fun Home.
Okay, damn it. Somebody in Atlanta, the Alliance, or somebody needs to do this so I can come and see this.
It's going to be here in Tampa. Okay. November 28th through the 3rd.
Yeah. And Stephen, I got to see Hamilton in Chicago.
Ah.
Oh my God. It is amazing. I had goosebumps or I was crying or I was giggling throughout the whole thing. And so was everybody around me. All of us were chatting about it. It was just, it's amazing. I cannot wait till it comes to Atlanta. And if I win the lottery, I'm going to go see it everywhere I can go see it. And I'll take you too, Stephen. You can be my platonic date.
Okay.
And your wife too.
All right.
Okay. So we're going to go back over to Lee. For the second round.
Oh, let's just chat some more and not do this again.
Oh,
okay.
Actually, Lee, because you're gonna like. Okay, so games with dragon in the title is what I'm trying to say.
No,
characters from Ghostbusters or X-Files monsters.
Oh no!
I swear, totally random.
Okay, I'm gonna do X-Files monsters. Yeah. Okay.
Oh gosh.
All right, Lee, go.
Chupacabra.
Dang it, that's the only one I know.
Steven.
I have not seen the X-Files in so long. Oh, no.
Another one, Aliens, Gray Aliens.
The Gray Aliens. I never watched X-Files closely enough.
Gray Aliens is close enough. Go ahead, Lee.
Yeah, Jersey Devil.
Steven.
Oh, the Fluke Boy Man thing.
Fluke Man, sure.
Fluke Man, that was actually one. Good job. Those awful, nasty people from Home, and do not tell me they were not a monster, because hell yes, they were.
Steven?
Oh, I'm out. I tap out.
Smoking Man, I would have accepted as a monster.
He's not a monster. Yes, he
is. Wasn't he?
He was.
Giovanni Ribisi and his electrical powers.
Okay, I'd give
one. All right, Lee.
I'll give you that one. I'm going to go with the tree people.
Tree people, sure.
They were the ones that they kept falling down the holes and they had the red eyes and you couldn't see them in the forest because they basically had skin that looked like the trees. You never got a name for them, just the tree people.
All right, Steven?
Yeah, I'm out. So sorry.
All right, we'll call that one. Lee gets 2 points.
And I can go also with one more, vampires, in case you want one.
Oh, so Steven says ghosts.
Right. Okay, so if I get vampires, he says ghosts. Okay.
I'm just kidding. You'd stop there.
Okay. I was ready to go for another. Okay, good.
Some creature underwater. That's another one. Yes.
I was actually going to go with the lizard guy from the last, the season 10.
Oh, yeah.
That one was a freaking hysterical episode. A lovely, lovely send off for a whole lot of people.
All right, Steven, this one's for you. Let's see. Okay. Property in this last round, properties from Monopoly, properties of Monopoly. not actually the properties of Monopoly.
The property cardboard. Of Monopoly is it takes way too long. That's the property.
The property of Monopoly is my sister is evil and I do not play it anymore.
Characters from Ghostbusters came back up and games that require more than 3 dice.
Ooh.
Games that require more than 3 dice. Let's do that one.
Oh, okay. Crap.
All right, Steven, go.
So Dungeons and Dragons.
And he sucked the first one out of my life. Catan. Settlers of Catan.
No.
Yeah,
no,
that's only that only two die. Dice. It's two
oh,
dice.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
Two.
Okay, give me one more second. Oh, sorry, Yahtzee.
Yahtzee. Okay, I was gonna say sorry again. Actually, sorry, you draw cards, don't you?
They're yeah, not, you not do. Even, okay. Sorry, I was thinking of something else.
Steven.
Farkle, where you've got the dice that you're trying to
there you go.
Roll ones and sixes, I think, or ones and fives.
Lee?
Liar's dice.
That's good.
Sure. Steven?
Go back to my goth phase, Vampire the Masquerade.
Ah, yes.
All your 10-sided dice.
Lee?
Okay, wait. Hold on. One small pause. So you did a goth phase. Are there pictures? Did you have the goth emo hair? You wear eyeliner?
No, there are no pictures. There will not be pictures.
Okay. Steven's wife, who may be listening, there is a bounty on that picture. If I get it, I will give $100 to charity. Just letting you know right now.
Wow.
$100 to charity for goth Steven.
Now, mind you, it might get blown up poster size and hung in the extract room, but you know.
Right. It will. Okay. Now, it was the one that I was saying sorry, but that's wrong. It's Trouble. It's that stupid bubble that makes the trouble soda noise.
Trouble really requires only one die.
No, it doesn't. It has more than one in that damn thing. Right.
And well, there might be two, but it's not three.
No, it is. It's like five. Again.
I'm looking.
It makes a shitload of noise. I had a 4-year-old here 2 weeks ago, and he loves that damn game.
Pulling up images. Trouble. Trouble only has one die.
Oh no!
No, not the way it makes that much noise. That's bullshit. Okay, something else with die. All right, give me a second. I'm looking around my house. I'm not downstairs, so I can't see my husband's games. Axes and Allies?
Axes and Allies.
I
will take it under protest. I have to remember. Okay, Steven.
Tiny Epic Western.
Lee.
Tapping out. Don't have any clue anymore. None. Done.
Clue requires two dice. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, you don't have a clue.
I said, I'm tapping out.
Okay, so give Steven his two bonus points. And guess what, folks? We have a tie.
Oh, we do not. Really?
We do too.
With the X-Files monsters, really?
Right, because you got the two bonus. Okay, so we got a 10, 13, and 7. So we have 20. Each of you have 20.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to go to a final bonus round.
Oh, crap.
All right. I'm going to give you a list of three for both of you. Each of you say which one not that you don't want to do.
Oh, okay.
So, okay. I like that.
Living dolls. In other words, dolls are alive. Sci-fi power sources or Masters of the Universe characters. Steven, since you're our guest, you get to go second because it's a more powerful position in this case.
Yes.
Lee, which one do you not want to do?
Living dolls.
Steven, which one do you not want to do?
So what were the other two? There were sci-fi power sources and
Masters of the Universe characters.
Let's strike Masters of the Universe characters. I was pretty young when I had those.
Sci-fi. So you're striking Masters of the Universe. So you want to do sci-fi power sources.
I do want to do sci-fi power sources.
Okay, so we're doing
okay.
Sci-fi power sources. Steven, you get to start.
So dilithium crystals.
Lee.
Arc reactor.
Steven.
Oh, that is a good one. That was the one I was going to do. What's the Kavurium? Oh, dang it. I'm going old school. All right, I better go new. So,
hurry up and have the cool time on you.
You are gonna have to. I thought I was gonna rock this.
We're just chatting right now. You're not calling time on him.
That's okay. Oh, I've cracked under pressure.
All right, Lee.
I can't think of one either. All I can think of is the Stargate, but it's not actually powered that way. It's powered by something else, and I can't remember what the hell the damn thing is called.
All right, that's it. We have to call it.
I thought we were going to be good at this, and we were terrible.
Right. And we were really terrible at this. What the hell is that thing called? Rodney McKay was always looking for him in Atlantis. And shit. Darn it. I mean, excuse me.
All right.
Have a right was what I was trying to remember.
Have a right. Oh, well, I'm going to have to give it to you then. All right. Yay, okay. Steven wins.
Yay, Steven wins. wins because he still came up with it, and I still can't come up with what
22-21 was the final score there, Stephen. All right, let everybody know where they can find you on Twitter, on for both their track and, I guess, personally, if you wish, okay. And also Facebook, and then also physically at DragonCon.
All right, so the track has a website that we'll be updating with guests and schedules and all. That's at science.dragoncon.org. There's also a DragonCon Science Track page on Facebook. You can find me personally on Twitter at Sargent, like S-A-R-G-E-N-T, like John Singer, for reasons that are lost to the mists of time from what I picked 10 years ago. I am also on Facebook, and at DragonCon, you'll mostly find me around the track room in Hilton 210-211. You can also stalk me. My schedule will be available on for the panels that I'm going to be part of in the app. So hunt me down.
Sweet. All right. So again, Stephen, thank you for taking time out of your day to join us.
Glad to do it.
And be sure to thank
you. This was a lot of fun. Thank you, Stephen.
Be sure to thank your volunteers for us. And thank you for also volunteering with as a director and getting all this great content to the masses.
Yeah. So,
thanks for being Jonathan Colton, too. A lot of people don't know that's your secret identity. If you don't know what that's about, listen to earlier 50 Days with Stephen, and they'll talk more about that.
Yes.
So I'm going to make you go backwards in time and listen to stuff. Ha! Nice. I have my own time machine. It's called the internet.
So until next time, apparently Lee is now creating the internet. It was not Al Gore. Okay, it was Lee. All right. So until next time, for John, that's me, for Stephen and Lee, this is John saying peace.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter at @TheUniqueGeek. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.